Well, good morning, church. How's everybody doing today? You guys are all spread out. It's like a 6-foot gap between everybody. Anyways, welcome to Sunday. And go ahead and plug your ears because it got you nervous the first service. It is Candidate Sunday. So, woo, we're excited. A little bit about our candidate. He loves Jesus with all his heart, loves his family, and he just wants to see the lost saved. He is amazing. I've had 9 months to get to know him, so it's a long time. And ironically enough, he comes from Bethlehem. That's kind of weird, but not you know, Bethlehem there, Connecticut. So anyways, without further ado, I'd like to invite Pastor Randy Hood.
Ah, I was panicking. He had my notes in the back. I didn't see him up here. I was like, I am prepared to go without notes. Hi, guys. My name is Randy. Candidate Sunday. It's got a little bit of a scary ring to it, but I'm so glad to be here. Like Chris said, we are from super randomly Bethlehem, Connecticut. It's a town of like 3,000-something people, maybe a little blip. But Connecticut, it's like a little blip inside of a little blip, which is the state of Connecticut, you know? I don't know if anybody's ever been there before to the great state of Connecticut, the nutmeg state, as I was telling some people yesterday. It's really cool, let me tell you. If you haven't, you should stop by. No, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. But thank you so much for having us here today. Just being able to worship with you guys has been just a blessing. And one of the amazing things when you're maybe in ministry a little bit, or maybe you're just visiting other churches on vacation or wherever, it's such a beautiful thing to be able to worship with the people of God wherever. And it's something that doesn't get lost on me, you know, being from the East Coast and just thinking about, wow, back on the East Coast, which is a long way away from here, the people that we know, many of our friends, they're over there. They're worshiping the Lord this morning. You guys are worshiping. We're worshiping here. My wife being from Colombia, down there in South America, they're worshiping the Lord this morning. All over the globe, everybody who's the child of God calling on the name of Jesus. It's crazy because if you kind of zoom out a little bit with one voice, all these different nations and tribes and tongues and people calling on the name of Jesus and just lifting their hands, singing their hearts out in their own languages, man, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So thank you so much for inviting us here to share in that with you this morning. I do want to take just a few moments getting to know you guys and going through this process and getting to know, you know, Chris. As he said, it's been like 9 months, so I've met many people, many of the board members, the staff, and many of you guys, and it's truly like a, I don't know what the phrase embarrassment of riches comes from, but you guys have an embarrassment of riches of really awesome, awesome people. As a number two guy, I'll talk a little bit about myself in a couple moments. Number two guy at a church on the East Coast, been in that position for almost the last 10 years. I know what it's like when the lead pastor kind of steps out and goes on vacation or takes a couple weekends off here and there or leaves for the whole summer, and that ends up kind of coming to my desk and being on my plate, and I'll preach and I'll teach and I'll do the groups and I'll kind of take on that additional role besides the one that I would currently be holding. And man, this church and the staff that you guys have stepped up and done so awesome. It's been like 3 years. I can't imagine, but they've done an awesome job. 3 years, the commitment to the church, their love for the people, standing up and making sure that they are in and they're all in. Pastor Roger here, not just being the interim lead pastor, but bringing vision to the church and leading. Man, the Bible says give honor where honor is due, and I just want to make sure whatever happens with me that you guys realize that it's something special. Like you don't get that everywhere. You don't get that everywhere. So one more time, honor where honor is due, please. In the name of Jesus, thank you so much, guys. That's really cool. So I'm going to start off. I'm going to put up a little picture of my family here as I kind of organize this stuff. A picture of my family. This is my wife, Andrea. If you look closely, by the way, you can see that I'm wearing the same shirt. I'm sorry, babe. Probably should have vetted that. But this is me, and there's me. There's my wife, Andrea, being from Colombia. She's a pastor. She's an amazing woman. She's an amazing mother. She's a Montessori teacher. and she's a pastor's kid from Colombia. So we have been down to Colombia several times, both as a couple and then with our children, have visited around there. Her father has a church. It's crazy because it's all a pastoral family. So her father has a church, her uncle has a church, her other uncle has a church, her grandfather has a church. So it's like everywhere we go down there, we're going to little churches and meeting people, and beautiful older Hispanic ladies are like grabbing my cheeks, and they're like, "Oh, it's so good to meet you." You know, it's really cute. It's amazing, and I love it. So that's a big part of our story. Then we have Maya, who is our oldest. Maya is about 9 years old. She's going to be 10 over the summer. She is a sweetheart and a bookworm. And then we have Zara, who we call in the house, we call her Sarita because it's a little bit of that Latino flavor. But Zara just turned 7, and she is also an amazing joy in my life. The three of these ladies together have been and are just such a blessing for me. There's a scripture. It is Psalm 68:6. And it says that God takes the lonely and puts them in families. And when I first came to know the Lord, and I'll tell you a little bit about the story in a little while here, but when I first came to know the Lord, I really had nobody, but I had this longing inside of me for just brothers and sisters and family and church family. And God has answered that prayer incredibly, as only he could do. And these three right here are some of the biggest blessings that I could possibly ever ask for. So that is us from the great nutmeg state, excuse you, of Connecticut. We are here, we're visiting, and I've learned a lot about Oregon, or Oregon, as my Northeasterners call you. Oregon, thank you to the Connecticut public education system. I was corrected as Oregon, and I knew that. I've been around a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Oregon. I learned that you guys are the only state, a little Oregon trivia for you. Maybe you guys don't even know, you're the only state in the Union with a state flag that is two-sided. Isn't that crazy? Go Oregonians, yeah. The only state. It's amazing. Like I said, I've spent just about the last 10 years as the number two guy. I was a youth pastor before that. It's been a while in ministry, meeting her and being down in Colombia, being involved in mission stuff. But one thing to know about me is that I really love the Word. I love the Word. I'm a big believer in the Word because I've seen the power, the transformative power of the Word, even in my own life. The Bible says that the Word is living and active. And I've seen it be living and active both in me and in other people's lives. So I love it. I actually think the Bible is one of those things that you could be studying the Bible for like 40, 50, 60 years and never run out of new things to see for the first time that'll just blow your mind. You're like, how have I read this 50 times before? And that right there in front of my face never occurred to me before. And it reminds me of like, it's like you're digging or something. And at first you read the Bible maybe the first time and you're kind of scratching the surface. You might get a little something, and then you go through it again, and you're digging a little deeper and a little deeper, and there's just more and more and more and more, and it just keeps going. It just absolutely keeps going. So I love the Word of God. One of my favorite books in the Bible, probably my favorite book of the Bible out of all of them. I don't know what your favorite book is, if you have a favorite book. I like John. I like the book of Hebrews. I love the book of Ruth. I think that's beautiful. I like some of the weird ones. I like Deuteronomy. I like Leviticus. Those are pretty cool. But my favorite book of the Bible would have to be Genesis. The in the beginning Genesis. And as we showed the picture of my girls a couple moments ago, the first memory verse that we really taught them, that especially Maya got, the very first one was in the beginning, right? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. And she'd say it all cute, way cuter than I can do it. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. I remember her being like 4 years old and reciting that to me. And I just love that in the beginning. And it goes like this. In real language, it's in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. Now the earth was formless and empty. Some translations might say formless and void. The idea there is that it's like this inhospitable darkness. It's like an emptiness. There's nothing that can grow there. There's nothing really happening. It's wild and waste, as Tim Mackey would call it. It is just emptiness and void. It says darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. Hovering there in the Hebrew is this idea of movement. And you look at that word in Hebrew for hovering that gets translated hovering, and you get like a gentle shaking, maybe a fluttering, but a moving. And it's I think the idea there is that even in the darkness, even in the inhospitable waste, that the Spirit of God was still moving and still at work. I love it. That's so powerful to me. It goes on, verse 3, and God said, and this is like the trivia, you know, many of you guys probably know this, but the first words of it's not going to be much of a trivia because it's right there on the screen, but the first words that God ever said, recorded in the Bible, is what? Let there be lights. Let there be lights. And what happened? There was lights. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And that's Genesis 1. That's the first five verses in the entire Bible right there. And there's so much there. It's just thick and packed. People have studied the book of Genesis. People have written books like just on that in the beginning portion of Genesis. And you could probably write books forever just on all the stuff that's going on. You see right here in the first five verses of Genesis, you see in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, the Father. We talked about the Spirit of God that's hovering over the waters, the Holy Spirit. And then we hear about the Word that said, let there be light, and the Son. So you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're all right there together in the beginning. Some people say, oh, it doesn't say the word Trinity in the Bible. It's right there in the beginning. They're there. In Spanish, one of the things that I learned from my wife and from the culture in Colombia is that when a woman gives birth in Spanish, there's a phrase. I'll say it in Spanish and I'll translate it. You would say like, ella dio a luz su bebé, which means she gave her baby to the light. Dio a luz. The meaning there, the understanding there is that in the womb, the baby's in the darkness. And when she gives the baby and it's born, she gives the baby to the light, gives light to the baby, right? So in Genesis here, the idea is when the let there be light happens, it's the birth narrative of creation. It is the birth narrative of creation. Creation is brought to light. And I love the New Testament because John picks up on this. And a trivia that does not say it here, there's only two books in the Bible that have the words in the beginning to start them, and I already spoiled the trivia because it's John. John and Genesis. So John picks up on what Genesis is putting down, and he starts off his book in the same way. He says, in the beginning, and it's going to kind of thread, almost like you're lacing your fingers together, and it just naturally fits together like this. John picks it up, and he says, yes, in the beginning. He says, in the beginning was the Word, the same one who said, let there be light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The one who said, let there be light. It goes on, it says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Nothing. Every single thing brought into creation basically filtered through the mouth of the Word of God. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke life into existence. The Bible calls him the author of life. Without that Word, nothing came into existence. It was only through that Word of God that things came about. Nothing was made that has been made without him. It says, in him was life, and that light was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And I love it because even though this was written, all of this was written at least about 2,000 years ago, it still applies to today. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Because we know as believers, if we have that light, if we have Jesus, right, neither sickness, death, disease. Paul's talking about, now it doesn't matter, shipwrecks and being beat or being whipped. Nothing, not even death itself can overcome the light of God in our lives. And then what does John say that this word that he's talking about, what does he do? That word in verse 14, that word becomes flesh and dwells among us. It says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And these guys, these disciples, many of them were fishermen. They were very normal people. They were your blue-collar people back in the day. They weren't the fancy, really. They weren't so much the awesome. Those were the Pharisees. Those were the teachers of the law. Jesus chose the regular, everyday people and revealed himself to them. And they went to their graves. Many of them went to their bloody graves, holding and sharing the testimony that this word that was talked about all the way in the beginning there in Genesis came into this world, became flesh and dwelt among them. And they stood in that testimony, John and Peter and Andrew and all the other ones that were his people stood on that testimony and brought it all the way to their end. Because they just believed and they had seen. What did they see? They saw the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's such a beautiful story. I love it because that little, in a way, back in the Middle East, back in that little area, it's like in Jerusalem and in Israel, that tiny little area. It's almost, I don't know, like Connecticut or Medford in this from a tiny little place. It's like God planted that seed. And over the years, it grew and grew, and now it's kind of covered the earth, and you get churches all over the place. You have believers all over the place, but it all started back there in the beginning. So if Christ is the light of the world, that means without Christ, before we knew Christ, we were in the darkness, stumbling about in the darkness, if you will. I don't know about you, but a lot of us, when we come to know Jesus and we leave our past behind, we can now turn around and see our past and be like, man, I was in the darkness and I didn't even realize it. I was like stumbling around. I thought I knew which way to go. I thought I knew what to do. But the reality was I was just doing what felt good at the time. I was just doing whatever seemed right in my own eyes at the time. But the reality was that I was in the darkness. I was stumbling around. I was bumping into stuff. I just didn't really know where I was going. I was lost. So I think like creation, right? Creation started in that darkness. We were all in the darkness at one point. I'm no exception. I was also in the darkness at one point. So like I said, I'm from Connecticut, born and raised, the other side of the country. It's like 42 hours drive from here. That's a long drive, right? 42 hours. That's far away. But the thing is that this is actually not my first time in Oregon. I was in Oregon many, many, many years ago, back when I was about 20 years old, before I knew Jesus. And I was, man, let me tell you, I was lost. I was in the darkness. I just was. I didn't know the Lord. I found myself in a lot of trouble being from Connecticut on the East Coast. I had grown up there. I lived there in that area all my life to that point, till about 20. But I've been through a lot in my short time on earth, and I decided more or less that I was going to run away from my problems. I don't know if anybody else has ever made that mistake before and tried to outrun your problems, but the funny thing is, they tend to follow you, right? They tend to follow you, and I learned that the hard way. I left home for the first time at 20 years old, and I jumped on a Greyhound bus, and I spent the next 3 years bouncing around the country with no idea what I was doing, no idea where I was going, and with very little money. At times, it was very, very street level. I was homeless for a time at about 20 years old. I spent time in hostels. I spent time in programs. I spent time in emergency shelters. I saw things out there that I never would have believed that I would see being from Connecticut, which is not really known for that kind of stuff. But I was just lost and broken, and really I was actually terrified and hurting. But the crazy thing was, the first stop on that journey, when I just was running away and I jumped on that, paid the $100 and whatever and jumped on that Greyhound bus pretty much to anywhere, the funny thing was that it ended up being anywhere was right here in Oregon. And I took that, what would normally be a 43-hour drive, except when you're on a Greyhound bus and it stops at every other light post all the way across the country, it was like infinity hours long. It was great. And I didn't know the Lord. I didn't want to know the Lord. I thought I was too smart to know the Lord. What would I need the light for? I'm already enlightened. I don't need God. God is for the weak. Jesus is ridiculous. Give me a break, everybody. That was my attitude. That was my attitude. I don't want to believe in a fairy tale. Give me a break. I would tell people that. I would actually evangelize that to people that I knew were Christians at the time. And I was traveling across the country on this Greyhound bus for the first time. I remember very clearly. It must have been hour 7,008 or something as I was crossing the country. There was this group of Jesus hippies that got on the bus. And I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit, but they were trying to talk to some people. I wasn't really interested in that, but at some point, one of them stood up and was giving out Bible tracts. And I was looking at them, and it happened to be a girl, and I was like, she's kind of cute. Yeah, I'll take a Bible tract. So she came over to me, and she was like, well, the only one I have left is in Spanish. But you know, I'm going to give it to you. And I was like, yeah, I read Spanish. No worries. I didn't read Spanish. I didn't really know Spanish. I was Spanish student of the month one time in high school, but that was about the end of it. So it was mostly like biblioteca and baño and all that stuff. And I, for the life of me, I could not understand this Bible tract that she had given me. I could not translate it. And here it is on the screen behind me here. Now I can translate it, right? Now I understand. Now I speak decent Spanish. The top says la luz. Luz is light, so it's the light. The tract is called the light. And there's two people here, as you can see. One of them has his back to the light, and he's got his arms crossed. And the other one is facing the light, and he's trying to get this guy to turn around. He's telling him, turn around and look at the light in Spanish. Turn around and look at the light. Voltea a ver la luz. Look at this. Mira esto, right? Look at this. Look at the light. And the other guy with his arms crossed is saying, in English, he's saying never. In Spanish, jamás. But English is never. Never will I turn around and look at the light. Never. The one guy is so happy. Look at this. Look at this. The other guy is so like, no way, never. And as I was looking at that track and I'm trying to understand it, I had nothing else to do. You got to understand. This is a while ago. I didn't have a phone or anything. Like, I had nothing else to do but to stare at this track and try and figure out what it said. I could not understand what it said. But what I also didn't realize was that guy with his arms crossed saying, Hamas, never. That was me. What do I need the light for if I'm already enlightened? What do I need the light for if I'm already enlightened? So, if I was way too proud, way too wise in my own eyes, if I thought Jesus was a joke, I was blind. I was just blind. There's no better way that I could put it. 1 Corinthians 4:4 talks about people just like I was. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I couldn't see it. I was blinded. I was in the darkness. I was in deep, deep darkness. I ended up, you know, landing in Portland, and I'm not going to get all into that stuff. I stayed at this semi-famous hotel called The Joyce in Portland, which was like gross. It was like $12 a night. It was a very interesting cast of characters, let me tell you. I was scared out of my mind. I spent about a month there, and like I said before, I spent like three years kind of bouncing around the country in my very early 20s, just completely lost. Portland was the first stop there. And as I was kind of bouncing around the country a little bit, at one point, I was in a hotel room somewhere, for some reason, I opened the side drawer next to the bed, and there was a Bible. It was a Gideon's Bible, and I didn't think a second about it. I took it, I stole it for some reason, didn't know why, wasn't really interested in reading it, but I stole it, I put it in my backpack, and I took it with me for like two more years of my travels. I didn't even open it, but I had it with me. That was in the middle of nowhere. As I said, I bounced all over the place. That was from like a hotel in Dallas, Texas, because I was on the move. I was restless. I was lost. And I put that Bible in my backpack, and I went for another couple years without reading it, but I had it with me. Now, there's a verse that says, it's very famous, Proverbs 16:18. It's pride goes before destruction. Pride comes before the fall, right? A haughty spirit before a fall. And I found myself in a free fall because I was way too proud, and I was very haughty, very, very, very wise in my own eyes. So in that free fall that I found myself in, bouncing around, staying a couple nights here and a couple nights there, and being, I don't know, just like some of the stuff, right? Some of the stuff I won't get into in church, but just some of the stuff that you see out there is pretty wild. And my rock bottom, in a way, came, and I was on the streets in Phoenix, Arizona, of all places, where I had met like a group of younger people who are just kind of like traveling and also like had their super issues, and they stayed outside. They slept outside. They were like homeless. And I went to the city and I stayed there for a while and I was on the street with them. And I guess, like, you know, I'll be a little bit transparent. It's not exactly comfortable like telling these stories, right? It's like get up in front of strangers and be like, yeah, that was a mess. Let me tell you. But what I've learned over time, right? Because this used to, honestly, this used to be stuff that I was very ashamed of. Like, I would meet people, and for a long, long time, like, I don't want to talk about this stuff. I don't want people to know that, because I start telling them that, and then they start looking at me different or whatever. But as I grew older in Christ, it was the idea of these scriptures that are like, well, the Lord is shown strong in our weakness. When we're weak, he's strong, right? So if when we're weak, he's strong, and I tell the story about me being weak, but now people can look at me and say, well, you clearly don't look like the same guy, then God gets all the glory, amen? So I was in Phoenix, Arizona. I was hanging out with homeless people. I was young. I was like 20-something years old, 20, 21 or something. And I remember I was one time, we were sleeping outside. I was sleeping behind a dumpster next to a building. I can visualize it with my eyes closed. And I slept behind this dumpster because I didn't want to be seen by the people who were traveling up and down that main road that was right there. So I was shielded from the passersby. I was alone this night, and I had a newspaper, one sheet of newspaper for a mattress. I was using my shoe for a pillow because that's what they taught me how to do. And I was laying right there in the asphalt of this parking lot behind the dumpster in Phoenix, Arizona, lost and stuck in the darkness, as lost and stuck in the darkness as you can be. I was on my back alone. It was late at night. I was looking up at the moon. I was way too proud. I was way too this and way too that. And the clouds started rolling in. And they started rolling in, but they're kind of patchy, right? They're patchy. They're kind of crossing over the moon. And sometimes the moon is gone, and sometimes the moon is back. And as I'm staring up at the sky, I'm looking at this thing. All of a sudden, it starts to rain a little bit and drizzle. And I'm there. I'm just in the wide open. I'm just there. And I'm thinking to myself, God, I'm not saying God. I'm just saying, what am I going to do if it starts to pour in this moment? Where am I going to go? And it crossed my mind that I would have to, like, jump up, open the dumpster, get inside, and close it over me to protect myself from the rain. And as I had that realization, for some reason, like, kind of my life a little bit was flashing before my eyes, where I came from, like, my childhood, the decisions that I had made that got me to that moment. And I just started to call out into space, in a way. I just started to call out as this lost man in the darkness, this young man. And I started to call out to whatever I could think of that people call out to, right? I was like, oh, the moon God, that you would save me. Or maybe the rain God. Maybe the rain God is who I got to call on because I don't want to be rained on. Or maybe it's the God of the nighttime. And I started calling out to this and that, laying on my back, looking up at the moon. And all of a sudden, I was just like, and to the true God, the real God, who's the big God. And I didn't know enough to know really much, but I was like, that you, whatever's underneath all this stuff, that you would save me. And from that time forward, it wasn't like quick and it wasn't easy. It was more slow, and it took a while, but God change my life, started to change my life, started to little by little get better and heal a little bit. And a couple years later, I started to read that Bible that I had stolen. And I remember I was reading this Bible and I would go through it, you know, in the beginning, and I would be like, I'd be upset. I wasn't exactly looking to believe in Jesus at the time, but I was just checking out the Bible. So I would underline stuff and be like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And I would write all in the Bible like how ridiculous I thought this was, and I'd read a little bit more and I'd be like, this is ridiculous too. Why would God allow this to happen? And I'd change the page and I'd finish a book, and I actually read the whole Bible that way before I was ever a Christian. I read the entire Bible all the way through. And I filled it with all these terrible notes and choice words and all this like crazy thoughts that I had been having or whatever. And as I finished the book, after going through the whole thing, it was interesting because what started out with like all these criticisms and all these terrible things, like as I got towards the end of the book, there were like less and less of those things that I was writing. And I remember as I finished the book of Revelation and I finished the whole Bible for the first time, I closed it and I like was thinking to myself, I'm like, And I reopened it again, and I started in the beginning, and I started going back through the Bible again. And slowly but surely, like the Spirit of God, who I realize now was in a way like hovering over that deep darkness of my life, was moving in a way that I could never imagine that it would move. And as I was reading through the Word, and it was becoming life, and it was being living and active, and it was slowly healing me and changing me and molding me and doing things in me that I could never have done myself. It almost felt like there was a God moment where I came to understand that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And it was almost like God said, let there be light over the darkness that was my life. And that light of Christ dawned in me. And that was like 20 years ago, and I've never been the same. I've never been the same, and God has molded me and used me in his grace and his love, has made me like, in a way, a crazy testimony. Because I will have people come up to me in churches like this. I'll have people come up to me, and it's people that you would never suspect, and they'll come up to me after service sometimes. I don't always tell these stories. I don't, trust me. But they'll come up to me and be like, Pastor Randy, You maybe wouldn't realize this looking at me. I've been in church 30 years, but I was in that darkness too, boy. And I remember what God did in my life, and I praise him for that. And that excites me. That's awesome. That's awesome because I just remember, and I realize that like everybody has a story, right? God has done a work in so many people. It's just amazing to be able to hear that and listen to people's stories. So the scripture says in the time when Jesus showed up on the earth, it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, it says, the people who were sitting in darkness, they saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death, well, upon them a light dawned. And the idea is that when Christ came into the world, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, it was like the rising of the sun and the dawn on all the people here that were in darkness, lost without God. It's a beautiful sentiment. And we were all there, like I'm saying. We were all there. Those of us who know Christ, who know the light of Christ, we know that the Lord has dawned in our hearts. What I enjoy here in the Word is that not only do we see the light, but Jesus takes it a step further. We don't merely see the light, but the Bible says it in a way we've been transformed into it. We don't merely see the light, we have been transformed into it. Ephesians 5:8 explains this pretty well. It says, for once in the darkness, it says, for you were once darkness. And I think back to my time, and it's like, I wasn't just in the darkness, I was darkness. the things that I did and the things that I said. It just perpetuated the kingdom of darkness. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. It's not that we have our own light. We teach these kids like this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine or whatever. It's not, we're not telling them shine your own light. We're telling them shine the light of Jesus, because that's the difference maker. You are lights in the Lord, so live as children of light. The Bible talks about that. We were once in the kingdom of darkness, but that Christ has rescued us and transferred us into the kingdom of light. It is a darkness and light thing. It goes all the way back to the beginning when God said that, let there be light in the darkness. We, in a way, as children of the light, are living results of a prophecy, if you will, that goes all the way back to the first verses of Genesis. God said, let there be light in the darkness. And all of us who know the Lord and have had that light dawn in us, in a way, we're almost fulfilling that. Jesus is fulfilling that in us. Bringing that light, bringing us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And as I said before, it doesn't merely transform us to see the light. We've been transformed in a way into the light. And you may not believe me, but it's actually on the tip of our tongues in so many of these famous verses that we talk about, like Matthew 5:14. Christ says, you are the light of the world. It's almost like the sun and the moon, right? Like the sun is the light and the moon is also a light that is over the nighttime. But does the moon itself glow? No, it reflects the light of the sun. In the same way, we are called to be that light and reflect the light of the S-O-N, Son of God. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Man, it's so powerful. And one of the things that we can't help but notice when we come to this church here in Medford for the first time, and we're trying to, you know, the GPS is telling us which way to go, and we're driving around Medford a little bit, and then you get to like the home stretch before you get to Bethel, and you're coming up that hill. And as you're coming up that hill, you look to the, I guess it's when I'm coming up the hill at least, you look to the right and you see that whole valley. And then you take a left, at least I took a left, up into Vista Point. I don't even know where I am right now. I just love it because you guys are like a city on a hill. I may not know which direction to go to see the valley, over there maybe. But Vista is an interesting name, Vista Point. Vista is the same word actually in English and Spanish. In English, it's vista. It's like a viewpoint, right? It's a view. In Spanish, it's vista. It's the same thing. It's a viewpoint. It's a view. You guys have been set here like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So my prayer here for this place, no matter what happens with me, my prayer here for this place is that you are the light of the world, that you guys fulfill that and act that out and ask for that grace of God to do what only He can do in this place and through this place. I have a heart for the lost. I will never apologize for that. I was crazy, terribly lost. And so many people could have been justified, in my opinion, by just writing me off and be like, that dude is done. He is doomed. There ain't no way. But sometimes when there ain't no way, God specializes in making a way. God has brought me the last 20, 25 years from such a level of darkness and done such an amazing, and it has nothing to do with me. It's all to Him, all glory to Him. I want to make that clear. All glory to Jesus. He's equipped me. He's given me gifts. He's made me love where there was no love before. There was just bitterness and hatred and vitriol and stuff. Praise the Lord. So today, as I call the worship team up here, I just want to spend a couple moments and pray. Father, in that great name of Jesus, that name above all names, God, I just thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace, Lord. For your amazing love, God, not just in my life, but in the lives of all the people in this place that know that once they were lost, but now they are found. God, that they were blind, but now we see, and we see you, your amazing light, Lord, who you are. God, I ask you at this time and in this place, Lord, that you would use this church here at Vista Point, God, that you would use them even above and beyond what they could ever imagine for themselves, whatever they could think that themselves capable of doing, Lord, that you would use them, Lord, in a mighty way, and only you can do. God, that you would make this place, that even beyond the walls of Bethel Church, but that you would cause the different believers here in this area, the different churches in this area, as long as they're lifting up the name of Jesus and standing on your word, Lord, that you would bless every single one of them, and that together, Lord, your light would shine in this area of Medford, Oregon, the Rogue Valley, Lord. That, God, that you would bring light to where there is only darkness, healing to where there's only brokenness, Lord. Your love where there's only hatred. Thank you, Father, that you, God, can do it. If the earth is like a speck of dust between in front of you, God, that the little places and the towns where we are, God, what are they to you? They're so small, God, and we know you're so big, Lord. So we just pray in faith, knowing that you are good and you desire to seek and save that which is lost, that you would do that in our midst here in this place, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, I just give you praise and thanks for your amazing grace, Lord. I pray over people in this congregation, maybe people who are online that maybe have never come to see or have not yet seen the light, that you, Lord, would open their eyes, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, and show them, let them taste and see that you are good, that your love and your goodness endures forever, Lord, and that they can trust you all the days of their life, God. Thank you, Lord. And for those who already do know you, we just thank you one more time. You are so good. We're so grateful, Lord. And right now we're going to sing a song of gratitude to you, Lord, because you are worthy. In that mighty name of Jesus, we say amen and amen. Thank you so much, guys. God bless you.